Okay. Who does this kind of stuff?
It's being described as the stuff of sci-fi sagas. A giant gleaming metal slab was found last week in a remote part of the Utah desert.
Okay, the intrepid explorers go down to investigate the alien life form.
It was discovered by a helicopter pilot and Utah wildlife officers who were in the area looking for bighorn sheep, a protected species in the state. They landed their plane to take a closer look, but found no obvious indication as to how the metal monolith got there or why it was there.
They've cut it in?
Pilot Brett Hutchins said he assumed it must be the work of a new wave artist or a fan of the sci-fi film 2001: A Space Odyssey.
It's big. It's black. And it's back. It's the monolith. Oh my god, we're gonna talk about the monolith today. People are clamoring. I've never had more messages. There's been a few instances in my little truther career here that I've had multiple messages about the same thing, the same topic. And this one, I believe, is number one. I've never had so many comments, messages, tweets. Patreon folks, lots of Patreon folks sliding in the DMs wanting to know. Isaac, have you seen the monolith in Utah? Yes, I have, ironically. And, you know as much as I do about it, so I don't have any groundbreaking information, but what I will give you is the history of the monolith from the 2001 Space Odyssey show, movies, books. Because I read all the books. I read all four of the books. Great books. Terrific books. Now, what are we talking about? For those of you that aren't familiar, and I wish I could remember the first person that sent me this. I actually read about this monolith they found in the deserts of Utah. I read about it like 2-3 days prior to the mainstream media picking up on it. And once the mainstream media picked up on it, that's when everyone was hitting me up. Like, dude, what is this? What's going on? Because as you know, I live in Utah. And as you know, I told you the aliens were going to be the final boss of 2020. Right? And this is looking like this is it. Now, let me explain to you what the official thing that happened here. It's some Utah Department of Public Safety, BLM, blah, 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 bureaucrat group. They were out there doing their work, corralling bighorn sheep. I mean, we just talked about the Baphomet, how ironic. We're talking about the big horned goat. And they're out there corralling these goats, getting their Brokeback Mountain on or whatever they were doing. And they found a monolith, basically, out in the middle of nowhere. They were flying around in a helicopter. The pilot was like, yo, what is that? Stop the, cut the music. And they landed, and sure enough, there's this like 10 to 12 foot high, shiny chrome monolith of sorts planted in the ground. They confirmed this has not been dropped from above. Someone actually took this massive thing. I mean, from the looks of it, it looks like it's maybe 2 feet wide. It's hard to tell. I guess they didn't measure it. I don't know. I assume there's going to be more research onto this thing. And thank goodness, right? I was hoping so. Because when I first saw it, I thought that's all they told you was they found this thing. And they were like, oh, huh, must be some weird piece of art. And I'm like, dude, we need more info. Don't just assume this is a piece of art. Let's dig into this thing. But as of November 25th, they haven't yet. They didn't publish the location, but if you dig around, I retweeted it. Some losers on the 4chan found it. Digging through the Google satellite images. I went on Google Earth and punched in the coordinates. And, it's hard to tell in the Google Earth app. It looks like you can see the shadow of it confirming that it's there. So I'm, very sure that's where it is. That being said, the next question you're probably asking is, well, Isaac, aren't you going to go check it out? You live in Utah. I mean, I could. It's like 4 hours away. I ain't got nothing better to do, right? But the Utah Department of whoever, they said that this is very remote. They don't want to get people stranded trying to find it. Otherwise, they would have published the coordinates. But apparently, it's been there a few years, according to the satellite imagery. But again, when they say it's so remote, we don't want people getting screwed up and stranded and hosed trying to find this thing. doesn't that just beg the question even more of like, who, how, why did they put this, what appears to be pretty big structure? I mean, it's not so massive that, right? It's not so massive that you need a forklift, but they're saying this thing's been planted in the ground and it looks pretty big. I mean, it could weigh, I don't know what the materials of this thing are because they didn't give you anything. I mean, as light as if it's just thin sheet metal fashioned together, as light as 50 pounds, it could be 1,000 pounds. But it's like, it's been there for years through, you know, storms and wind and animals and all that stuff. Gotta be pretty heavy. They assume it's art. I don't know. And what is really bizarre to me, what's even more bizarre, is that if they think that this was just some artist doing a prank, it's not the same dimensions or shape or color as the monolith from 2001, because they're immediately saying, oh, it's like 2001, joke about 2001. Well, I don't buy that either. I mean, it's a monolith, yes, but it's not black. It's not of the same dimensions, same size. And why put it in such a remote location? I mean, so many questions, right? And, like, didn't they take better photos? Like, didn't they get up close? Didn't they look at the seams? I mean, it's perplexing the little bit of information we got out of this thing, which points to PSYOP, right? A PSYOP. Meaning they're purposefully leaving it vague. Like how Tom DeLonge and Peter LaVenda and the To the Stars Academy and all these folks are talking about this space material from another world with no other information. They didn't tell you where it came from, if a crash happened. I mean, nothing. They got nothing. Very vague. And you know that the Skinwalker Ranch folks, Brandon Fugel and all the guys I talk about in my Use Your Illusion 1 book, you know they're on their way to this thing. They're priority there. And thank goodness, I want to learn more about this thing, so hopefully they'll give it to us. But the, yeah, so that's it. You know as much as I do. But let's go through the history. What is a monolith? Why are we talking about this at all, even? Well, you go back to the great Stanley Kubrick's movie, 2001 A Space Odyssey, what some argue is the greatest science fiction film of all time. I don't know that I disagree with them. Besides, it's 3 hours long. They, in this story, they, and this is, and the book sort of follows the same thing. It's a little different. But they find this monolith on the moon, right? And this monolith is called the Tycho Monolith Anomaly 1, and it's emitting these moon waves. It's emitting these EMF waves, electromagnetic frequency waves. Now, prior to that, at the beginning of 2001 Space Odyssey, they show you back in time before mankind, when it's just apes running around Africa. And out of nowhere, it pops the monolith, which is actually dubbed TMA-0, right? This is the one that evolved the apes at the beginning of the film. And they learned to sort of whoop that ass with a bone, with a femur bone. And introduce the idea of conflict and war and violence and, you know, arguably like capitalist tendencies. Then in the story, you know, you fast forward a couple thousand years, man is on the moon. And man finds a monolith, TMA-1, on the moon, buried 40 feet underground. It was emitting waves, and that's how they found it. So they dig it out, and they're taking a look at it. They're like, what is this thing? And next thing you know, the sun hits it, and boom, it activates a signal, trips the signal, and it sends a signal out to Jupiter, which in the book, it's actually a moon of Saturn. It actually goes to Saturn, which you know is the alchemical planet. It's a symbol for the blackening, the negredo, the first stage of alchemy, the evolving of mankind. It didn't make the film because Kubrick officially said that he couldn't make the rings look realistic enough. I don't know if that's true. He made all his other space stuff look pretty realistic, but some argue that it was too on the nose of the occult doctrine. So in the movie, in the book, they TMA-1 on the moon shoots a signal out to TMA-2 over there by Jupiter or Saturn. Long story short, David Bowman, the astronaut, he gets out there to TMA-2, and it's massive. It's the same ratios, but it's like, you know, 2 kilometers long. And he goes into it. It's like a black hole. It's like a wormhole. And he's like, my God, it's full of stars. And the dimensions are the same, though. They have dimensions of 149, right? Talking about the width, the height, and the length, which are perfected numbers because it's 1, 2, and 3 squared. Those are the 1 times 1 is 1, 2 times 2 is 4, 3 times 3 is 9, okay? So the monolith in the Utah desert definitely does not have those dimensions. So I don't know that this is just art. Well, okay, it could be just art. I don't know that it's a play on 2001. But it is strange that you find this monolith in the middle of the desert. It's just bizarro, right? And that's what everyone's asking me on. Sorry, I'm not going to message everyone back. I just figured I'd shotgun blast this on the podcast. It is bizarre. I think this is very strange. If it's art, it's not. It's sort of based on 2001, kind of, but like, why not make it the same if you're trying to just joke around and make it look like aliens are here? And they did it years ago. But the bigger question is, how did they get it out there? They said it's so remote, they don't want people to know where it is. They had to get in by helicopter. So what? Did Brandon Fugel, this billionaire from Utah, did he fly in a fake monolith? I mean, it's just so many questions. But in the story, 2001, the monolith is the symbol for evolution of man. It occurs to mankind first through astronaut David Bowman when he hits that TMA-2 out there by Jupiter or Saturn, if you read the books. And in the story, he goes into this basically hotel. The aliens create this environment that appears to be a hotel, and he gets enlightened and he becomes the star child. He evolves alchemically to a new form of being, a new entity. Now in the books, if you keep reading, which I advise you to do so, there are many monoliths. There are many like it, but this one is mine. And these monoliths, what we find out is that they are controlled by alien consciousness life forms. They're in these higher dimensions. They're not sort of flesh and blood type aliens, meaning they're not interstellar, but they are interdimensional. And they do various things. Like they're trying to evolve mankind, much like they evolved the apes. And what's curious, in 2010, the sequel, the second book, they actually increased the mass of Jupiter by creating infinite monoliths. And it implodes and becomes a sun, an exploding star. And this is they call it in the book a better, brighter sun. And guess what they call it? You know the answer. They call it Lucifer in the books. Because Arthur C. Clarke is Illuminate confirmed. And in the story, they take TMA-1 from the moon. They put it in front of the UN building. I mean, it's the globalist agenda nightmare, Luciferian nightmare. Now, I talk about the monolith in more detail in my book, Kubrick's Code, which you can get on Patreon, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. You get it free when you sign up as a tier 1 supporter. You'll get Kubrick's Code, and also I made like a 2.5-hour video on Kubrick's most popular films, Eyes Wide Shut, Clockwork Orange, The Shining, and of course 2001 Space Odyssey, with all the ideas, fun clips, and a good time. And you'll get all that when you sign up. Now, I'm going to read you from the book some excerpts about the monolith, okay? This knowledge is the concept of violence and evil, not so different from many religious tales about the introduction of evil into the world, whether it be Adam and Eve tempted by the forbidden fruit, or the occult beliefs of the Gnostic Archon evil shapeshifters that came into the world as the force known as the Demiurge. I believe the alien monolith stone is a projection of this evil force, because it shows the apes how to use violence to kill one another, as opposed to teaching them to share resources. Right? Now, besides my Marxist Communist Manifesto element there, we've seen this idea elsewhere about nefarious forces disguised as good. Do you remember? It was in Raised by Wolves. Their god, Sol, which means sun, which I would argue is the black sun, the Saturnian sun, the Luciferian sun, the one they create in 2010, A Space Odyssey, is the same thing. Like, it promises these great things, but it ends up being a bloodbath. Let's keep reading from Kubrick's Code. The monolith stone from 2001 was made from lucite, a patented form of plexiglass. I'd like to go out on a limb and toss out the idea that this closely resembles the name of Lucifer, the light bearer. Lucifer is the evil presence who provides the sin that lures mankind into violent behaviors like the apes, drawing the analogous nature of the stone with Lucifer himself. And of course, you know, Lucifer is like the, what does that mean? Like the phosphorus or whatever. And that's what they made. They made it the monolith used on set from lucite. Is there a connection there? I mean, that's a stretch, but it's worth pointing out, right? Let's keep reading. The dimensions of the stone are 2.2 by 1. That's where we get the 1 by 3 by 9, okay? Now, when you lay that out horizontally, it is the same dimensions of the film on screen, which is the aspect ratio for Super Panavision. From, you know, how Kubrick filmed it. This could be an argument to suggest that Kubrick was conducting the alchemical transformation of all of mankind through the film itself. And this is a big idea we see often. Kubrick took you, the viewer, on an initiatory tale of alchemical transmutation by watching the film and waking up the mind, waking up the third eye, the pineal gland, the all-seeing eye. You've now been initiated. Which is the same concept you'll see in Hodorowski's Holy Mountain. He tells you right at the end, you've been on this journey, you've been initiated. Welcome to the Brotherhood, illuminate, confirm you. In the book, I elaborate on that idea. He is taking the viewer on a journey of enlightenment, a concept no different than that of the alchemical transmutation of man that occultists adhere to. Followers of alchemy believe that they will achieve enlightenment through the great work that seeks to find the eternal elixir, sometimes referred to as the fountain of youth. The goal is that of eternal godlike status, and is depicted in several manners, such as the blackening of the sun, which is similar to the black monolith. Now you see the in the tale, David Bowman, through alchemy, through the monolith, becomes the star child, living immortally as the alien godfathers and a higher form of consciousness, immortal streams of consciousness. That's what you read in the sequels. You find out. Well, let's finish up here. Final excerpt from the book. The darkness of black is used to portray the dissolution of the physical body. The black abolition of the physical body also represents the shedding of material cares and desires, a shape represented by the four-sided square, or in its three-dimensional form, the cube. This black cube is a known symbol of Saturn, which is where the black cubic monolith is featured in the novel form of this story, The Sentinel, by Arthur C. Clarke. Because that's what 2001 was based off of, a short story called The Sentinel. Okay. We see the black cube in all forms of entertainment and artwork as a silent nod to the occult beliefs of those who follow. And in the book, I go through some photos, like the Allspark from Transformers, the Borg Cube from Star Trek, and so on. Now, in conclusion, let's wrap this up. In 2001, The Space Odyssey, the monolith is like the Prometheus, evolving mankind, stealing fire from the gods, giving man the tools, technology, and the capability of becoming God himself. That's where it ends, with man becoming God. could, and you'll notice in the books, in one of the sequels, I don't remember which one, they make note that Frank Poole, I believe, is the one who makes note that, like, hey, there's no religion in the future here, because he kind of gets reanimated back to life after, you know, freezing to death out in space. They bring him back to life, and he's like, there's no religion here. And they're like, yeah, we abandoned those silly ideas a long time ago, buddy. Right or wrong, that's what they believe. Now, could this monolith in the Utah deserts have been placed to evolve mankind, much like Prometheus? They found it in 2020. This is the time of the Great Reset, they tell you, when man is forced to evolve and enlighten and become better. That's what they say. Now, another idea. Utah is, of course, where Skinwalker Ranch is. You heard, I was on Tinfoil Hat with Ryan Burns. When was it? Was it last year? Anyway, it doesn't matter. In the 2019 or 2020. I think it was 2020. And we did a show about Skinwalker Ranch, talking about all the stuff he saw out there. Now, so you could check that out too. But Skinwalker Ranch is where they've been messing around with these unseen forces for a long time. Bigelow Aerospace was out there. Now you got these highfalutin Utahns like Brandon Fugel, and I talk about them in the book, Use Your Illusion 1. But this monolith, it was in the desert, right? Much like where TMA Zero was out in the desert with the apes evolving man. You have to understand that the desert is a place for the initiatory practices to go down. It's a surreal environment, and the initiate can sort of become enlightened out in the desert, is kind of the gist of how the occultists view this. Now, in my Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult User Illusion 1 book, which also, by the way, is available on Audible now, for those of you that were curious, I talk about this mantra of thoughts become belief, become reality, okay? And even if this monolith out in Utah is just some artist playing a prank or whatever, this still supports the alien agenda. Because even if an artist did it as an homage to 2001, which I don't even understand because the dimensions are so far off and doesn't even look like it, my whole book is based on the idea that entertainment influences us by communicating with the subconscious through symbolism, where it can later manifest as reality. So when they show us all these alien movies and stuff, they are creating reality by influencing us on the subconscious level. In fact, I go through some examples in the book about how technology created from the outlandish ideas Arthur C. Clarke wrote about in the books, like iPads. They were unheard of in the 60s, right? Well, he basically came up with that, and that influenced the scientists and engineers to create such a thing. I'm going to read you from User Illusion 1 real quick. We're talking about Project Bluebeam, Serge Manasse, the guy who claims all this stuff, okay? Manasse claims that entertainment is forcing its unsuspecting viewers to question their dogmas and religious beliefs through entertainment. Quote, this is from the Project Bluebeam excerpt that Serge Manasse wrote that I used to talk about Project Bluebeam, because I went right to the source for that, okay? Psychological preparations for that first step have already been implemented with the film 2001 A Space Odyssey, the Star Trek series, and Independence Day, all of which deal with invasions from space and coming together of all nations to repel the invaders. The later films, such as Jurassic Park, deal with the theories of evolution and claim God's words are lies. So, in 2001 A Space Odyssey, they showed the manifestation of the New Age, with man going to the monolith to alchemically become the Star Child so that man can become God, removing the limitations of the human body, a Gnostic principle. So could this be similar in some bizarre way? Yes, it could be. Even if this just is an art piece, it's a direct example of an influence of science fiction upon reality, right? Because a monolith doesn't exist in reality, but guess what? Now it does. All right, if you want more on Kubrick's Code, because it's a fascinating topic, you can get Kubrick's Code. Get it on Patreon. Sign up for Patreon. That's the cheapest way to get it. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. You'll get it on the Tier 1 plan there. You can get the Alien book on Amazon or Audible, or I still got a few signed copies here. Get them on the Gumroad, gumroad.com/IsaacW. Thank you for your time. Until next time, stay woke.